Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Today is Mother's Day. Thank God for Mother's Day and for mothers. Now, in 1 Kings 17:10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her, this is the prophet, and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. That's the man of God telling her. Famine's going on. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil of cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks. How many believe that wouldn't make much of a fire? That I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and not die. Is that right? And 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, that the head of the woman is the man, that the head of the woman is the man, and that the head of Christ is God. You got it? Now, man was created to be the head of the woman. Man was created to be the head of the woman. I would have you know the head of the woman is the man, the head, the kephale. In the sense of seizing, when you say head, that means head. You've got the thoughts, you've got the calculation, you have the plan to seize, and the part most readily taken hold of, the one that you can reach up to and grab hold of. Now, he's head of the woman, the gune. G-U-N-E is the Greek word. The woman, specifically a wife. And so the head of the woman is the man, is the aner, the man. Man was to be the responsible one, strong one, the strength. Man was to be the responsible one, strong one, the strength, the provider, the rosh, the kephale. Rosh, Old Testament head, kephale, New Testament head, part most readily taken hold of. So the man should be the part that is most readily taken hold of, you see? So people need true heads more than ever before. But how many males today are a real husband? How many males are men? How many? How many males are men? Amen?
Amen.
Now look at the state of the world today. Mankind is becoming a race of beings foreign to God and truth, being driven to destruction. Remember that. I'll say this over and over and over. Mankind is becoming a race of beings foreign to God and truth, being driven to destruction. The compromise and continued compromising of men of God have caused the overall condition of the church to go down. A manifested decline and degeneration is not firstly due to the influence of bad spirits in unregenerate people. So manifested decline and degeneration is not firstly due to the influence of bad spirits in unregenerate people that sit out there or they're in the world. It is firstly due because of men of God and the righteousness not standing up doing what they should do. They don't. This causes a trickle-down effect, affecting, altering, changing every other subsequent realm of life. Divine, spiritual ministry, domestic, biological, animal kingdom, secular, civil, see? Until every area, every facet, every member of the entire society becomes more and more godless like today. As fatherhood focused on God ministry declines, its lack thereof colors all standards and all morals of society. That's what colors and influences it. People begin to accept totally wrong things. People begin to accept totally wrong things and see them as acceptable. The entire culture, its values and ways change, thus become more and more and more transformed into a race of beings foreign to God and truth, being driven to destruction. I'll say that over and over and over. thus becoming more and more transformed into a race of beings foreign to God and truth, being driven to destruction. So with the loss of fatherhood, focus on God and focus on ministry first. So the loss of fatherhood and the loss of focus on God and ministry first, standards, customs, ways, traditions, morals, ways of thinking that are very ungodly and damaging to humanity become tolerable, swallowed, accepted, and normalized. Right. Yes, the breakdown of fatherhood brings lack and imbalance in all parties involved, due firstly to the compromise of men of God. That's where it started. And their lack of true godly spiritual fatherhood to a people under the oversight and under their oversight and care. Yes, sir. So due to the compromise of men of God, that's where it started. And the people under their care and oversight, then men do not know how to be. They don't know how to be godly sons to God or men of God. They don't know how to be godly sons to God, to men of God, who find their purpose in first in their spiritual ministry, Father, who are matured and walk in truth. They don't know. They don't know. If a man is not first in line with God the Father, then no other idea of his life will work out right. If a male is not first in line with God the Father, then no other area of his life will work out right. And you cannot be in line with God the Father if you're not in line with the spiritual father, a man of God, that God has chosen for you. It is impossible. It's impossible for me to really preach and know what I preach without coming out of those men of God and all that oversight that brought me into this. And even in the grave, they still oversee me today. It's impossible. That's why I can do it with foundation, everything, because I have all that in me. I'm not some Johnny come lately coming up. Hallelujah. So you got to be in line with that spiritual father. If you're not faithful and actively involved in the house of God ministry with God himself, with the spiritual father, man over you, and not faithfully involved in the house of God ministry that God has chosen you, then you have to be your own whatever. You say, I got to be my own person. I want to be my own man. Thinking like that, you're not a man, never will be. You will never be a man. Do you see? You have to be with a man of God and in church for these other parts of your life to ever work out. You can't just say you know God and be some lone ranger, be out of church, and be delinquent in ministry. A saved person, a real saved person, will have a man of God and will have a ministry and will have a people of God and be actively involved in it, tithes, offerings, gifts, tribute, thank offering, etc. Do you see? You can't say, I know God and be some lone ranger, be out of church, be delinquent in ministry. So if men are not spiritually in line spiritually with God, they cannot be godly domestic fathers, husbands, men, sons. It's impossible. Right. They don't know how to be the head of the domestic household, wife, children. They don't know how to be the head. They don't know how and are not equipped to lead, to take the responsibility of that for that area of life. So this causes a breakdown in the house of God, domestic, biological, family structures, an imbalance in responsibilities, a weight and a load to come upon the domestic wife, and I'm about to get into that, a weight and a load to come upon the domestic wife that she has never been engineered by God. God never engineered her to do that, to have to carry and pull that load. God never engineered a woman to do that. This continues on to cause lacks, imbalances, frustration, confusion for all members of the domestic and biological family, including the children. The children. The children are left without examples of right things, of a truthful balance. And they end up with a lot of internal unrest, a lot of questions without much constitution, no foundation, and without much truthful direction. The lacks just accumulate, and no one is fulfilled. And so the children try this, try that, try that, and the ultimate ways that God, the Father, really intended for them. Many mothers, wives, women bear loads they are not meant to. So many mothers and wives, women bear loads they were never meant to bear, to have to bear. So one of the unintended detrimental results of men not qualifying, standing in their God-given position of head and to the woman and to the family. So one of the unintended detrimental results, again, of men not qualifying, standing in their God-given roles as head of the woman and all, because they don't have somebody to help them, is that the woman, wives, mothers are forced. It causes the woman, the wives, and mothers to be forced to take on the main load. This is Mother's Day. To take on the main load and leading responsibilities for the entire household and family. More than they were meant to bear, more than they were designed to take on. You can't run a car 150 miles an hour all day long without the engine blowing up. You can't just keep putting something on a woman over and over and over until it just weighs her down to her knees.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear?
Yes, sir.
As mankind grows farther and farther away from God, as mankind willfully abandons God more and more, sorrow increases all the more. So as mankind grows farther and farther away from God, as mankind willfully abandons God more and more, sorrows increase. Women, wives, mothers are left with less and less true men, husbands, and fathers. They're not holding today. Where are you going to find some?
Yes, sir.
So women, wives, mothers are left with less and less true men, husbands, fathers, and have to bear the load of the entire family and household all on their own. It's a task that only a woman, a wife, a mother can understand the severity that's upon them, the well-being and financial providing for her children,
yes, sir,
the spiritual and emotional raising of her children, having to try to fulfill both parental roles. God created woman as the more delicate vessel between her and the true man. She's called the weaker vessel.
Yes,
why? She's a more delicate vessel.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear?
Yes, sir.
She's a more emotional vessel. But I tell you what, any kind of male who has no emotion, you better get some emotions. You look like some robot Frankenstein.
Yes, sir.
You need expression. Everybody, but women do have emotions that might affect them. But I tell you, a real, real, real man, he'll have true emotions himself.
Right. Yes, sir.
True?
Yes, sir.
He will. So, she's called the weaker vessel. Likewise, you husband dwell with them according to knowledge. Got to have knowledge of what to do as under the weaker vessels. No matter how strong any female is today, and there are some that are pretty strong. No matter how strong some females are today, she still is created to need someone to lead, guide, and give her strength. She needs a true father, a true head, a true man to take the leading role, a man of God in her life, so she can flourish as the supporter and completer she was created to be. So here she is. So she can flourish and even be a supporter and completer of what she's having to do. And there are women who can do that. You hear me? There are women who are doing that today. They really are. A mother that carries this kind of burden is always crying out to God inside herself. And God the Father is extremely nigh to the earnest cries of a mother like this. He is. God hears those cries of that mother, an earnest mother. So here are just a few among many of the brave mothers of how God the Father was so nigh to help them. The widow woman of Zarephath, in the days of prophet Elijah, there was a drought, famine in the land for 3 years due to the sinfulness of the leader of that nation, King Ahab. 1 Kings 17:1, and Elisha the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there shall be rain, dew and rain, for 3 years according to my word. Famine's coming. Prophet Elijah had to hide from King Ahab and wicked Jezebel. He had to go hide. They're going to kill him. God sent him to hide at the brook Cherith, and there provided for him in 1 Kings 17:2-6. 1 Kings 17:6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and they drank of the brook. When the brook dried up, then God sent prophet Elijah. So the brook dried up at Cherith. God said, go over there, and the ravens feeding him every morning and every afternoon with a quarter pounder, a man of God, R.W. Shelmuck said. And When the brook dried up, then God sent prophet Elijah to the next place in provisions and protection. It came to pass in 1 Kings 17:7, after a while, that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, God said through him it would not be. So God then told the prophet, go down to Zarephath, because he had commanded a widow woman to sustain him there. God had. For the word of the Lord said unto him in 1 Kings 17:8, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Zarephath is like confinement to dwell there. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee in this famine.
Yes,
I have commanded a widow woman in Zarephath to sustain thee, prophet of God, during this famine. A widow woman. to sustain thee, maintain thee, help thee, on and on and on. This widow woman was very barren, very empty. Her house was left desolate, just desolate. She was. She didn't have money, didn't have food. She's this widow woman, this desolate woman, discarded, like a divorced person or something. Prophet Elijah went to Zarephath, found the widow woman there. 1 Kings 17:10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and behold, he came to the gate of the city, and look here. Behold, the woman was there gathering of sticks. God had her right there in sight when he walked in. She was gathering sticks, not cut up wood, sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. My God, he's telling her, that widow woman, go get me some water. Anyway, this widow woman was bearing the load of her whole household without a head, without a leader, even during a famine. You see that? Prophet Elijah asked her for a water and then a little bread. 1 Kings 17:11. And as she was going to fetch it, the water, he called out and said, wait a minute. I pray thee, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand too. Bring me some bread back in here. Back here. Give me some water and bring me some bread. The widow woman tells him just how lean and dire things are for her and her son. And he said, look, I'm in a real bad fix here. You want water? You want bread? She tells him just how lean and dire things are for her. In 1 Kings 17:12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. This is the last thing we have to eat. A handful of meal and a little oil of cruse. You see that? Yes. Prophet Elijah said, fear not. Don't fear. God sent me over here. You go and make me a cake first. Then for you and your son after you make me one first. Well, it's not going to be enough to make it. And the meal and the oil will not fail, he said, all the rest of the famine. If you go get me some water, make me a cake first, and then one for your son, you and your son, the meal and the oil will not fail. You'll have it till the famine's over with. 1 Kings 17:13, Prophet Elijah, fear not, go as I have said unto thee, but make me a little cake first, bring it to me, and after that, you and your son. And but for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, he said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sent rain back upon the earth. It was 3 years. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her son, her household, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto Elijah. When the widow woman provides for the prophet Elijah, God miraculously sustains her and her son and her household. The widow woman had been bearing the whole load. She had been bearing the whole load without a head or without a leader. Oh, God's given her one now. God sent her a spiritual, true spiritual ministry head, even prophet Elijah. Through her joining with God's true man, that spiritual ministry head, all of their lives were sustained even throughout the whole famine. The widow woman provides prophet Elijah with a secret place in the cave to hide in throughout the famine because King Ahab and Jezebel are out to kill him. So she not only got able to feed him, how many believe she kept on cooking meals for him? Now that little handful of meal and a cruse of oil. And not only is he fed and sustained, but he is hidden from Ahab and Jezebel. And furthermore, when the widow's son falls and dies, hey, a big deal, see, one of those big, hard, severe deals. Furthermore, when the widow's son falls ill and he dies, prophet Elijah is going to raise him from the dead. 1 Kings 17:17 came to pass that the son of the woman fell sick. Sickness was so sore that there was no breath left him. He died. And she said, He said, give me thy son. He took him up in his bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon the bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow whom I sojourned with by slaying her son? And here I am. She's taking care of me. She's helped me. Lord, why did you let him die? And he stretched forth himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O my Lord God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of the prophet Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he was revived. And the prophet Elijah took the child, brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elisha said, "Behold, thy son liveth." Here he is. God took up the bereaved widow woman who was bearing the load without any head, joined her to a true head, a prophet of God, thus sustained her life and her son and her household's lives. The widow woman's mother's heart felt the relief and rejoicing to know that her household was saved and looked after. Even her son was raised from the dead due to her being joined to a right, responsible head.
Yes,
do you hear?
Yes, sir.
What about Obadiah's widow? King Ahab's servant Obadiah. He's a servant of King Ahab. Worked for him. 1 Kings 18:3, and Ahab took up Obadiah, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He feared God.
Yes, sir.
Obadiah had hid 100 prophets of the Lord from wicked Jezebel,
yes,
and fed them with bread and with water. 1 Kings 18:4, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave,
yes,
and fed them bread and water. Well, there's a famine in the land. Where is he going to get it? And how is he going to get it? The king has all that he wants. The king has all the bread, all the water, all the food you'd want down. Obadiah's bringing it out of his house. But Obadiah's having to pay for it. You got to listen to this. So Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them in a cave, fed them with water. Remember, this was in the time of the 3-year famine. Jewish scriptures and tradition tell us that Obadiah bought the bread he was given to the prophets from the palace, from Ahab's palace. He bought it, where food was still in abundance for the ungodly. Obadiah took out personal loans to buy this bread, charged it to his own account. Obadiah put God's men in the future ministry over all. God's man, the future minister overall, and was very brave and resourceful to sustain this 100 prophets in this time. After some time, Obadiah passed away. Listen now. And Judaism tells us that the widow of 2 Kings 4:1-7 was none other than Obadiah's widow. The Jewish tell us she was none other. He passed away, this good man. But she was none other than Obadiah's widow. Righteous Obadiah had run up such a high bill for the food he had charged to feed the 100 prophets of the Lord that now the creditors had come to his widow and were threatening to take her 2 sons away. 2 Kings 4:1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Elisha, now, thy servant, my husband is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear of the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen." This widow had a true head leader in her husband Obadiah, but now he's passed away. Godly men who gave all to, he was a godly man who gave all to the Lord. He was definitely in covenant with God, Obadiah, this man, the husband of this widow. But now this widow finds herself bereft and without headship or leadership. Now she is facing what looks like a huge load. It's all dumped on her. Now the devil is breathing out threatenings, getting ready to take away her 2 sons. Now this righteous woman must go directly up to prophet Elisha, who had been both of their spiritual head and fathers. He was their spiritual head and father all that time. He was feeding those prophets and all that. Well, he was their spiritual head, minister head. So she goes up to him. Like Rebecca, she inquired of the Lord through Shem, and he gave her the answer. Asked Shem and Eber, both of them, you see. So this righteous woman, she knows where to go. She goes directly to prophet Elijah, who had been both their spiritual ministry head and their father. Obadiah's widow cries up to her spiritual head, father Elisha, and she's desperate for God to come through to help her. Prophet Elijah gives her instructions. God makes her one pot of oil. Pour it out and out until you fill up many vessels. Keep filling it up. 2 Kings 4:2, and prophet Elisha said, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me." And she said, "Thine handmaiden hath not anything in thy house but a pot of oil." All I got is a pot of oil. Then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and empty vessels, borrow not a few." Get a bunch of vessels. And when thou art come, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all other vessels that are full. Just keep pouring in vessels, keep on, and kept pulling up vessels, filling them up. So she went from him and shut the door for fear of what they'd do to her and her son. And she took all kind of vessels she had borrowed, started pouring out what she had in it. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not any more. Okay, no one has any more vessels. And the oil was stayed full, all everywhere, just everywhere. Yes. That was money. Yes. This miracle of the golden oil from heaven is sold to pay off Obadiah's debt. And the widow and her sons are sustained. Yes. This paid off Obadiah's debt, what he was hiding the prophets. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt and live, and thine thy children be at rest. Obadiah's widow, this lady, lived and walked in a real covenant with God. Her husband and surely the whole family lived continually for the service and purpose of God. They were joined to God's man and spiritual head, spiritual father. Obadiah himself being a righteous man, a head leader over his own household. Obadiah's widow lost her immediate spiritual head through his death, but she was joined to the spiritual head and father over both of them, Prophet Elijah. Obadiah's widow did not have to face and bear a severely threatening situation without God coming through for her. By her joining to righteous, Obadiah and to her spiritual ministry father, there's Prophet Elisha. You see it? Obadiah's widow did not have to bear this immense load anymore on her own. And God brought forth salvation for her house through her joining to right heads. Obadiah's widow's mother's heart felt the relief and rejoicing to know that her sons were delivered from the bondage due to her being joined to the right head. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
That divine golden oil unloosed straight from heaven covered, protected that godly widow woman and her sons due to her joinings. Why? Because she was joined to that man of God in the right heads. Her husband was a right head, and then the man of God was a head over them.
Yes,
the true apostolic remnant, people who live, walk fully for the Lord and in ministry, who are correctly joined to their spiritual father, ministry head of the house, God will unloose his divine oil straight from heaven, cover and protect them, and provide for them. You see that?
Yes, sir.
So yes, God the Father is very nigh to godly mothers and wives and women who bear the load without a true head in their godly women. He hears their every cry. He is a judge of the widows in his holy habitation.
Yes, sir.
A mother, a wife, a woman, true people of God, everybody needs a head when they're truly joined to their spiritual ministry father. God the Father is right there to provide whomever, whatever answer, help, and salvation is needed. So to all mothers who are having to bear the load alone, you'll never have to bear it alone anymore. If you are joined to the right head and the right people above you. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. It has to be the man of God. It has to be the house of God. How many see that?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
How many appreciates the word of God today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateas Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.